deepest darkness of Dromund-Kos, to the smelly sewers of Nar Shaddaa, to the brightest light that shine on Tython. This is Flashpoint.
Hi everyone, welcome to episode 39 of Flashpoint. It's a two-man show again this week because Ed has quit Star Wars The Old Republic. No, actually that's not true. I think he slept in and he'll probably join us later in the show with a bit of luck. So it's me and Simon. How are you, mate?
I'm good. Hello, Internet Bandiers. How are you?
And look, we actually know we've got viewers. Well, we always knew that we had viewers, but we did a little survey in the last couple of weeks and we had many dozens, well, 20-something people actually take the 5 minutes to fill out the survey, which is much appreciated. We just asked for feedback on the future of the podcast as far as format. So thanks to everyone for their feedback. And the strong message that came out of it, something like, well, it was more than 85% of those people said that they wanted things to change a little bit as far as covering multiple MMOs. So, based on that, we're going to continue to cover Star Wars The Old Republic first and foremost each week, and that's as it should be. And then we're going to cover what Simon and I have talked about as being the Big Five, or the Big Four in addition to Star Wars The Old Republic. And that'll be just segments after the Star Wars part each week that'll cover World of Warcraft, and we might put that towards the end so the World of Warcraft haters can tune out from then on. Guild Wars 2, which we'll talk about a little bit later this show as well. The Secret World, and we're calling that one of the Big Four because Simon and I are both addicted and have bought lifetime subscriptions. And the upcoming Marvel MMO, because we're both Marvel heads and it looks damn good and everything that Diablo 3 should have been. So they're the ones we'll be covering, but feel free to let us know if there's something really obvious we're missing, and we are obviously missing MMOs, but we can only do so much. So that will start in a fortnight's time, and we'll have probably more special guests. So we'll probably have some guild leaders and stuff from some of the games, or you know, some of the community. I've already touched base with FunCom on having their community rep come and talk about the Secret World, that sort of thing. So let us know. So that was a very long-winded intro. Simon, any comments you've got to make on that?
No, we didn't mention Rift. No, we didn't mention Lotro.
Yeah.
We didn't mention Eve, one of the only other MMOs out there that actually charges a sub like World of Warcraft drink.
Yeah.
Yes. So, granted, we know we've missed out some pretty obvious ones there, but there's only so many hours in a day, so many days in a week, and you can't really try and become a, well, you can't be familiar with them all. Sorry.
No. So
something had to get dropped off the side, and, you know, maybe when Pandaria comes out, we'll be a little bit more au fait with WoW, and maybe when there's an update for Rift, I think, coming out soon, that maybe we'll drop back in and have a look at that.
Yeah,
Landmark stuff we'll try and cover as well for others that aren't in the Big Five, I would think.
That's right. And yeah, look, so I would love to cover EVE Online because I admire it, but I've never been able to get over the learning curve of it.
Oh, look, EVE could be really interesting because of the whole co-association thing with, what's it, Dust?
Dust 514.
Or Dust 514. I read about that ages ago when I tried out the EVE demo, and that sounds really interesting.
It does.
Especially if they can get it to work. So, yeah, I think that might be worth... We'll definitely be doing a piece on that, I would imagine.
Yeah, for sure. So let's jump straight into well, what we still call Republic News, but we'll call it something like Star Wars The Old Republic something. We'll jump into that now. So here's the music.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1 Republic News.
So there's actually quite a bit in the last fortnight as far as news with SWTOR. So I'm going to start off... Actually, I'll start off with BioWare have made their presence known at Gamescom in the US again, obviously covering a bunch of their products, but Star Wars The Old Republic being one of them. They released just a 1 and a bit minute teaser video that just showed off some of the stuff that most of us have already seen sneak peeks of already. So that's obviously the new planet, the new Terra from Beyond operation. They were the two ones that stood out off the top of my head. So it was just a pretty little video. And I know at Gamescom they were sort of demoing a little bit of the new operation from memory. So, you know, they're still putting the stuff out. There's not been a lot of news about the free-to-play side of things from Gamescom, although I don't doubt they were promoting that as a thing to get new players in. Gamescom, Simon, have you picked up anything from that that was of particular excitement?
No, nothing much, nothing terribly specific for the SWTOR coverage for Gamescom in Cologne, Germany.
See, I'm so switched on. Was it in bloody Germany? Why did I say the US? That's sad.
Force of habit. Pretty much everything's in the US, so you just misspoke. Sorry. I knew if I didn't point it out, someone else
was. Oh, no, it's a good point. So. And I even knew BioWare were flying to Germany. I just never clicked. Yeah, anyway, I'm an idiot.
No, not at all. No, really, I think the only thing worth commenting on as far as BioWare's involvement over at Gamescom is they're steadily reducing presence at these events. I don't think that they've actually committed to even showing up at the next PAX. So I'm not sure what they did there, but I think it was basically just really a trailer and a press conference, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was pretty much it. And I think they had the... I'm assuming they had the store. I think they like had the stand where you could come and drop in, but I think it was much less than what it was last time. But I could be talking out my ass with that even.
Yeah.
But so you're right. Compared to the pre-launch and immediate post-launch, you're right. It's a much scaled-back thing.
Yeah. So hopefully this is just something that they're just conserving their resources. And maybe when the free-to-play comes out, they'll make a bit more of a splash. And hey, advertise the game even. You never know. That'd be a nice change. Promote the damn thing.
And that's where I really feel for BioWare, because their budget would be for the marketing would be relying a lot on EA. I'm sure they're copping a flogging on that they're just not getting any decent budget to do that compared to some of the other franchises. And even I attended the Australian launch in quotation marks, and the EA Australia guys did a great job with the money they had, but it was pretty low key. So, yeah, compared to the flash mob, or not, wasn't flash mob, but all the big sort of stuff that happened. It was a flash mob, actually, wasn't it? I think it was New York, so I'll say it was in Paris, just to keep up my geographic stuff for the night. So, yeah, pretty sad that they can't advertise it more, because that would have to have an impact on numbers. But, you know, they're not advertising, not getting the numbers, and it drives that vicious circle with free-to-play. But anyway.
Yeah, but the stupid thing is that you'd think EA would actually have worked out, being as a big multi-billion-dollar company as they are, that when business gets a bit sluggish, that's when you actually start promoting things more, not less. Although, having said that, fortunately, since very few people actually subscribe to my tweets, no one would have, or very few people, maybe one, apart from yourself, David, would have seen my somewhat acerbic tweet about the latest video they've put out, which basically is a rehash of the last announcement video they had with the, hey, it's Katha, hey, it's new operation, hey, it's new space thing, blah, blah, and with a bit of extra footage in of Makeb, which presumably, hopefully, hasn't given away too much, but it's got a kind of a cool shot of switching off one of those laser energy bridgey things and a bunch of robots falling to their death, which is kind of neat. Hopefully that's not the one and only highlight the Bloody Planet has to offer, but
no,
it was underwhelming to say the least. But the trouble is, with keeping your eye on the game as much as we do, it's very easy to lose perspective. So for the intended audience, hopefully it did exactly what it was designed to do, whatever that was.
And I'm just trying to find your tweet, if you don't have it in front of you, because I quite enjoyed it at the time. Have you got it there? Here, just hold on a sec. I think, oh, here we go. Double click, because you don't... There we go. New video release for SWTOR, See the Future of the Old Republic. Nothing new except the stench of desperation. I know, yeah. I couldn't agree more.
It did seem that way. It's a case of enough with the promises, enough with the coming soons. Just start delivering and shut the hell up. That would really be my message to BioWare if they gave a damn what I thought.
Yeah, I agree. So, and speaking of delivering content, they allegedly did so last Tuesday with the new World event, which is what I'm just calling the Chevron event. Simon, you know my thoughts because we talked just before the show, but I think this World event has been a big steaming pile of horse shit. I've hated it. And I'll tell you why, and then Simon, you dropped in because I know you're jumping, because I know you've done some of it or a lot of it yourself. I'm close to the end of it, and the only reason I am even close to the end of it is I've totally relied on walkthrough guides, in this case from Dolphy.net, but I know Darth Hader have had a good one as well. For those wondering, I mean, you can go to the fleet and pick up the initial, hey, there's a new world event, go down to Nar Shaddaa, I think is where you start it.
Yeah.
But otherwise, you can head straight to Nar Shaddaa, and there's a great big hologram near the Jabba the Hutt statue there. And there it starts, and it starts off promising because it's obvious what you do there, and you pick up another quest, and there's a bit of a flow. That happens for a while, and then it turns into this big guessing game where quests end and there's no obvious mail, because you get some mail initially from the agent or whatever it is, the person you're dealing with, telling you what's next. And there's a little bit of a prompt. The prompts disappear. You have no idea where any of this stuff is unless you go to the web and find it, which I found really frustrating. And then some of the actual quests are ridiculous, and I'm not even going to start to talk about... Oh, what was the ridiculous one? Oh, clicking on the panels to get the circle of lights. That one I was about ready... Even though it's simple, working out how the interface worked just about made me want to punch the computer screen, although I know a lot of people found it easy, so that's just probably me. But I just found it terrible, just absolutely terrible and frustrating. And the only reason I've decided to get through the end is just to see, mostly to report for this podcast, because I would have given it up about 3 hours earlier otherwise. Simon, you've played it. What do you think?
Yeah, I've played it a chunk of it. It appeals to the compulsive completionist in me, just running around and getting bits and pieces. And I don't mind little treasure hunts and so forth. I quite enjoy them. I wish they'd do more world events. The thing with the Old Republic is clearly they've got a fair whack of stuff, I think, in their back pocket that's already been done before all of the layoffs, et cetera, et cetera. Actually, I'll have a talk about that in a minute, just off subject. I like what they've done with the Chevron event, at least superficially, at least in the beginning, because I've only done about three quests. I've stopped because I was waiting for one of the quest givers to give a... giving the clue or the token or whatever the heck the damn thing was supposed to do, because the event rollout's staggered, and I think I leapt in a bit too soon before everything had rolled out. It's the fact that when you go into a lot of places where you've spent a lot of time before, like Drummond Cass and etc. And you've got these little dodgy insurgents firing away at the guards. Because obviously I play on the Imperial side, David plays on the Republic.
Yeah.
I like that because it's, you know, you get to the Drummond Cass spaceport, run out of your dock, and there's this firefight going on in the lobby, and you're thinking, oh, well, what's going on here? This is interesting. And it makes the world feel a bit more dynamic when things like that are going on. And I really wish they would do more of that. Maybe just randomize some of the NPCs. Because let's face it, you go to Nar Shaddaa and you go to the promenade, and it doesn't matter what time you go, how long you leave it, there's always going to be that guy throwing up in the pond. He's always throwing up in the pond. He never stops throwing up in the freaking pond. At least he could wander off, have a drink, and then come back. I mean, after, what, 8 months of the game, what's he got to throw up anymore?
Probably he's just...
He doesn't have internal organs any longer.
Yeah, maybe anyway. You've seen some of the other content on the way.
Oh, that's harsh. Probably deserved, but harsh.
Yeah, see, I'm just bitter, sorry. Yeah, keep going.
But... I think it starts off okay. Obviously, got further into it than I did, and yeah, I mean, it's not compelling by any means. The Chevin don't really care about them. You're not really given a particular reason to care about them, apart from the fact that there may be some sort of duplicity going on. But everyone's duplicitous. There's you're getting stabbed in the back. Right the way through your storyline for the most part, one way or another. So I'm not. It doesn't really. It adds a bit of variety. It doesn't really anything new. It's maybe some fresh flowers in the vase.
Yeah, that's a great analogy. That's what it is. Although, what annoys me nearly as much as how bad some of the parts of the world event are, is the fact that it's only running for a week. So this Tuesday it closes off. A week for, unless you're a hardcore person who's also a completionist, you're not going to get done. So to hark back to WoW, and this probably to establish my credentials with world events and seasonal events, I love them. And I've got my, you know, purple Drake in World of Warcraft from doing every single world event in WoW. So I'm used to doing pointless shit with world events, which is why I was so disappointed that Chevin was actually even worse than some of the WoW stuff. But you have two, from memory, there was always at least 2 weeks for each seasonal event in WoW. Why a week? What absolute idiotic reason would you have to only have it for a week? What does it hurt to have it a further week?
Yeah, I don't know. It seems absurd. A week's not long enough, clearly. You're right.
Anyway, I don't know what... It feels like it's something that they've just spat or shat out to, as you said, flowers in the vase. So they've shat flowers into the vase. That doesn't work as an image.
Yeah, I mean, it hasn't fixed anything. It hasn't addressed anything that players have been complaining about. It's just given a little bit of spice, a little bit of variety. Actually, I should probably also mention that the stuff, the rewards at the end that you get, you spend your Chevin points or whatever the heck they're called on, underwhelming is a word I think that's appropriate.
And apparently based on class too. So apparently there's not a lot, for example, as a Jedi Consul, there's nothing for me in there, I know, but it's mostly, there's one or two weapon types that the biggest gains for some classes.
Yeah, well, unless you want to dress like a sand person.
Well, that's what I'll probably end up doing, just for the sake of spending them.
Yeah, is that one of the? You got an orange set for dressing like one of the sand people?
Yeah, I think that's yeah.
And there's a mount that's 90%. So basically, exactly the same as the first piece of crap you get when you get level one riding sorted out. So you know, it's again something a little bit better would be good.
It just seems rushed out to me, and particularly given that on the Republic side, some of the quests were glitched and they had to do an update, a patch or a, from memory, didn't they? They had to patch it to get it to work. So that screams Rush to me, even, you know, with any MMO where glitches and that are a fact of life. I would have thought with world events, you know, it's a smaller thing that you could maybe avoid whole quest glitching, but Rushed. Yeah.
Maybe they should have made them instanced. I don't know. I haven't instanced one yet. It's all out in the general.
That's
general
right.
Population. And I came across one that was, let's say, erratic.
Yeah. And for those assuming that, you know, the bits that you've got to pick up are near transport hubs, forget about it. So there is a lot of riding around, which I don't have an issue with. I don't mind having to spend the time doing it. You get to see areas, and for some of us, there were some areas where I hadn't actually totally explored. So while I was there, I did that. So that there were some upsides, but yeah, I don't know. It just seems very poorly done. So he's hoping better for the next one.
Yeah, but at least it gets people going off into places they probably haven't had a look in for a while. And in all honesty, let's be fair, it's a bit like what Blizzard has done recently with everyone sick of, you know, Dragonpalooza or whatever the last update for that was called. So they've been inviting people to re-explore old content.
Yeah.
While they're waiting for Pandaria to come out.
Which I love doing in WoW, and this is what concerns me, that I don't enjoy at the moment doing it in Star Wars The Old Republic, and I haven't put my finger on why.
Yeah, that is a concern.
I mean, I've just spent 3 weeks running Magister's Terrace over and over and over again to gain rep with, I've forgotten the name. Anyway, Sunwing Sentinels, whatever they are. That's in, anyway.
I think technically we should be drinking at this point.
Yeah.
That wasn't just a mention,
that was a detailed mention.
That was a conversation.
Yeah, that'll be the following fortnight. So anyway.
Yes, sorry.
7, 5 out of 10 at best.
Yeah, but at least they're trying.
Yeah, absolutely.
But try harder, please.
Now, speaking of trying and fixing errors, over the last week, and we'll have a link to this in the notes as well, show notes, is the 1,000 paper cuts thread on the official forums. So what this is, a pretty thoughtful forum poster there, Cyrus Krell from off the top of my head, taking an idea from the EVE Online forums where they talk about 1,000 paper cuts. So all those really tiny little things that annoy the hell out of you and add up to totally take away from the game. And he's done this enormous post. When I say enormous post, it runs to the thousands of words, but really well laid out. Just giving an example of how a thread like this should work, but also providing his enormous list of paper cuts and approaches to improve the game. And then there's obviously been a lot of posts subsequent to that. So I don't go onto the official forums that much, but that was very much worth going on for. And as I said, I'll link to that in the notes. So, Simon, you hadn't had a chance to check that out, had you?
No. Although from the brief overview I have had of it, it does seem like a remarkably good idea. I'm sure it's all stuff that BioWare is well aware of, but you know, it's for them, it's just a matter of what do we address first? Because the trouble with an MMO is you have got so many different groups who are focused on different types of gameplay, because it's a Swiss Army knife. Most MMOs are a Swiss Army knife. There's there's everything from a knife to the little scissors to the weird little thing that digs stones out of horses' hooves for some reason. And if you're one of the people that enjoys knives, awesome. If you like the little scissors, awesome. That's where probably most people go. That's where most of the attention gets put, probably. And then, but the trouble is, if you're someone who's really into the little thing that digs the stones out, that's the most important thing to you. And everybody's got the most important thing to them. And that's what they're going to go on and on and on about. And what do you fix first? I don't know how BioWare can. Hopefully they've got a really coherent internal strategy for how they're going to address this and what's prioritized and so forth. I really hope so, because you know, I still want this game to succeed. I'd like the game to get better. And I would like people to be happy, although you can't please everybody, let's face it. Then given enough time, it will sort itself out. So I'm hoping that something like the 1,000 paper cuts thread will maybe give them, help them refine where they have to focus the resources and in what order.
Yeah.
Because they really do have to. At the moment, it's you really get the sense that they don't really know what they're doing. They're totally in reactive mode, and that's where they've been. The word panic sort of pops to my mind. That may be inaccurate, but that's just my impression.
Whereas mine's a little bit different in that I'm sure they have a coherent internal strategy that's just been communicated really, really poorly through fear of backlash against whatever the strategy is, that it, you know, they're worried that the general community of that currently paying subscriptions, for example, won't like the strategy and they'll lose more numbers. So I think it's a fear of we're better off not saying too much and hoping people stick with us than saying too much and losing people if we've got it wrong. But yeah. What would I know?
Yeah, that's the problem, I suppose.
And Eric Musco's jumped on that thread and said what you'd expect him to say, or any community rep to say, that they're all reading it and appreciate the comments and they'll take them on board. So there's a surprise.
Mm. Yeah, it's nice to see that they've the community, well, I can't say team anymore, community guy, has got new and useful information to provide to the to everybody.
Exactly. So before we jump off Star Wars, one of the other things that came through clearly from the podcast survey we did is people were actually interested, believe it or not, in knowing where we're up to and actually playing the game. So, Simon, starting with you, what over the last week, or give us a rough idea, have you, well, for starters, have you got a bloody level 50 yet?
Why would I want a level 50?
Yeah, I knew you were going to say that.
No, seriously. People that get to level cap just start complaining about there not being enough end game content, and
that's
this is
a valid point.
That is broken. The end game is not Star Wars: The Old Republic's strong suit. It's not there yet. It's, from what I've been able to tell, it's quite a way off being there. What the point of differentiation this game has is the story, is the leveling process. So I think I've got one of every. What have I got? I've got a trooper. I've got six classes, and they're all sitting around the mid 30s, early 40s.
Oh, that's good.
So it's not like I'm not doing stuff in the game, but I'm in no rush. And in all honesty, I'm actually just experimenting with different ways of playing the game. Some of my characters have. I'm not calling them alts because I don't know which one's the main. But that said, they all play slightly differently. Some of them are more social. Some of them do every quest they come across. Others do not. So for some reason, they've all got their own little preferences.
No, it's a great point.
Smacks of schizophrenia, I know, but there we go.
No, it's a great point about the fact that the end game, unless you're a hardcore raider, which neither of us are, that
if we're hardcore gamers, we're raiders, we wouldn't be playing Star Wars: The Old Republic.
Yeah, that's right. So, good point. I'm just, you know, toddling along with Wheeze and Henry McGurk and Squared at level 50, getting annoyed with the Chevron event and doing a few of the Ilum quests and doing that. Otherwise, I spent a little bit of time on my, I think he's about a level 15 trooper with his guild Rogue Squadron. Hi guys, I've been totally slack and not been in game a lot, but I know our venerable guild master listens to this, so apologies, sir. I'm hoping to spend some more time, although with Guild Wars 2, yeah, maybe not. I shouldn't make promises I can't keep.
No.
And my Sith Warrior is a lot of fun too, and it's about the same, about a level 13. So yeah, having fun with them. And enjoying wanting to get the legacy stuff happening, so keen to level both those people up a bit more.
Are you really? wanted to get the legacy thing going.
Yeah, just to try and get, mostly to get my head around it. So I understand, you know, the concepts of it, but I'm actually wanting to tweak and fiddle with it a bit. So, for example, I've already set up that when I send a companion off to sell trash items, that they do it in 30 seconds instead of 60 seconds. It's little things like that that I like.
Hmm. Okay, fair enough.
So there you go, folks. That's what we're up to. And so that was still a good solid half hour, if my maths is correct, of Star Wars. And I said we won't go totally into the other MMOs this week, but we'll just cover off some other stuff. We would have had a lore update from Ed if he had woken up, and I don't know that he slept in. Hope you're okay, Ed, and we'll talk. And we'll definitely see Ed back in a fortnight. So let's move on beyond lore update to a couple of things. So Guild Wars 2. Guild Wars 2 launches officially. Well, this is where it gets fun, and you're going to hear a click here where I give you the details. Okay, so it depends on whether you pre-purchased or pre-ordered. So if you actually bought the full game, you get a 3-day head start, which for Australians means that I'm just scrolling down here, I did all the conversions. 3-day head start, which means you'll get to start at 5 p.m. next Saturday, the 25th of August. And also possibly a few hours early in that they've said they may actually have the servers up a little bit earlier than what they thought. So, but anyway, next Saturday, if you've got the 3-day head start, if you pre-ordered, you will be able to participate in 1-day of head start access. So that'll start Monday, the 27th of August, around 5 p.m. If you're in eastern states, 3 p.m. Western Australia or 7 p.m. New Zealand. And then the actual launch is Tuesday, 28th of August at 5 p.m. Australian Eastern Coast time. And Simon, I'll get you to jump in a sec, but my vibe just from trolling Twitter, Facebook and whatever, there's a lot of people excited about this game, and there's a bit like Star Wars The Old Republic, there's a lot of guilds already formed, probably some of them coming across from, well, others from Guild Wars 1 or Guild Wars. I think there's going to be a lot of pumped people, and from participating in the beta, I think there's reason for people to be pumped. What say you?
I would agree. I'm always very, very dubious about hype, especially with any kind of video game. Not for much, not because it's not always deserved. I mean, quite often, any new game is very exciting to get in there and start exploring and start doing stuff. You know, it's the honeymoon period of any video game is sometimes the sweetest. But I think I'll just be hanging back a little bit just so they can get the loads the server loads all sorted out and so on. So my beginning is not like the when Cataclysm came out.
Yeah.
And yeah, there I was in literally a sea of Worgen, and I thought, well, this is interesting and dynamic and fun. I can't find the quest giver. He's buried under a pile of Worgen, and maybe I should just come back later.
Yeah,
but I'm really quite keen to get in there and start digging around, because I was really taken with it, a lot like the Secret World, really. There's just something about it that just calls to you. There's things to learn. Things aren't quite what you expected. I suppose one of the things about Star Wars The Old Republic was a lot of it was very familiar if you'd already played WoW. But Guild Wars 2, not so much. Secret World, even less so.
Mm.
So yeah, no, I'm looking forward to Guild Wars 2, and I think the anticipation is well deserved, because most people have gotten in there and had a bit of a look around, so they know what to expect. It's not like it's going to be a sudden disappointment.
No, that's right. And I mean, we'll obviously talk about Guild Wars 2 on this podcast, because we'll both be playing it. We've also got one writer on board that'll be staying in the next couple of weeks with a Guild Wars 2 column, and if there's anyone else out there interested in writing on Guild Wars 2, let us know. And we've also started profiling Guild Wars 2 guilds. So if you've got a guild, just drop us a line at contact at toroz.com.au, toroz.com.au. I need to change that email address over. So, yeah, pretty excited next weekend to check that out because I pre-purchased digital download, I'm assuming I get the 3-day head start. The other important thing is as far as unofficial Australian server, so the server list has been published officially for launch and that I can link to that, that's on the site. And Sea of Sorrows is still considered the unofficial Australian server, but as we discovered with Star Wars The Old Republic, that can tend to fragment a bit depending on what people are after. And I know Guild Wars are set up a little bit different as far as PvP and PvE and all that sort of stuff, but Sea of Sorrows if you're wanting to have a lot of people in the same time zone. So there you go.
I was hoping it might be. There's one, is it called Yak's Breath or...?
Some good server names.
I thought, that should be it.
Yeah, but Yak's Breath, I like
Sea of Sorrows is lyrical, so that's good too.
It is. So I promise I'll leave WoW to last, so we'll just do a very quick mention of the Secret World in that they've announced they've got some further content going live this month, and from memory they're at Gamescom too, so they've got their first raid going live in the near future. They've done some updates. There's been a few bug fixes the past month anyway. I published the review for the Secret World yesterday on the site, so I know last podcast I talked about it a bit, so I won't do too much this time. It's fair to say that both Simon and I are big fans, and as I said at the intro, I bought a lifetime subscription yesterday, and I've had some interesting feedback on that from people saying it's going to go free to play in 9 months too. Any MMO that offers a lifetime subscription is doomed anyway. So I don't tend to agree with that. I know Funcom haven't had the uptake that they thought they might have, but it's still a profitable game from what I gather, and it's a damn load of fun.
Yeah, and someone gets an envelope and some idiot's going to pop up and say, but the envelope's going to go free to play. there's always some troll out there that makes that declaration. And hell, it might go free to play. I think there's a lot of games out there that probably will. The whole idea of a subscription model may be something that's on its way out. Let's face it, there's not a lot of sub games out there. And certainly not ones that can... The ones that are sub games are ones that were out there a long time ago and built up a community a long time ago. Eve obviously is one of those. The game that shall not be mentioned again this podcast, hopefully, is clearly one of those.
Yeah, agreed. And I'd also like to, for the very first time, thank my mum for the birthday money that allowed me to put towards a lifetime subscription. Otherwise, I wouldn't have been doing it. So thanks, Mum.
Oh, I just had to sell a kidney for mine.
God, you only got $100 for a kidney. I could have got at least $300 for you.
$100? It's more than that.
Okay, that's all right then. Because I would have given you $300 and then on-sold it for $5,000, but you still would have made a bit more money.
You bought a lifetime sub for $100?
No. I said that, put it towards it. No, it was $198, I think it is.
Oh, I just thought mummy money bags had just rolled by and a money aeroplane and thrown it back.
No, no such luck. So yeah, I think it was $198. So with the exchange rate, actually, I think with the PayPal biting you, I don't think it worked out a lot less. But
yeah,
and for that, you obviously get the lifetime subscription plus a whole bunch of in-game rewards, Funcom points if you want to dress yourself up pretty, and there are a couple of actual, was it a weapon or there was something else in there?
There's a weapons pack and I think there's some potions and some talismans.
There you go.
Which, so, if you're like me, were actually already kind of past the use by date. So it's assembling them and getting their patterns.
That's the thing. We won't talk more. I hate crafting in the Secret World, but I know a lot of people love it. So
I like it. I've got myself a special notebook, and I've actually get a pen and put pen to paper, and I'm keeping a little. I've got a recipe book.
See, that's I'm just being lazy then.
I like that sort of stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. I can see the appeal.
It was the whole thing about Armor 2's DayZ mod not having a map, but you could actually send away for a fold-out paper map, you know, like the road map that you can never fold back up in the car.
That is cool.
I like that. It's nice having some sort of real world that's relevant to the game. I don't know. For me, at least, it just makes the whole thing more tangible.
Yep. Yep. Agreed. So any whale haters should now tune out. I
mentioned it.
Thanks for tuning in. So we very briefly, just the last week, Blizzard released the first cinematic from Mists of Pandaria. And it's quite, like most of their cinematics are, it's very pretty, and it's actually got quite a bit of humour in it. And I suppose it's a bit hard to avoid humour with pandas. And I think they've probably, you know, thrown their hands up in the air and go, we're never going to be able to make these guys serious dastards as far as attitude. So let's keep the humour there. And they certainly do in the cinematic. So if you haven't checked that out, it's worth it. Even if you hate WoW, it's just a pretty bloody good cinematic. So, I mean, Mists of Pandaria releases about a month after Guild Wars 2, but because they're taking the fight up to Guild Wars 2, they're releasing the pre-expansion patch on the day the Guild Wars 2 launches.
So, the background download is already trying to suck down 21-odd gig of new data, so...
Yeah, and I mean, I actually love the pre-expansion patches in WoW nearly as much as the expansions, as far as if they do another world event that was as good as the pre-cataclysm one.
I love the earthquakes.
Yeah, it was just really well done. So it'll be interesting to see what this one does. So that's exciting times. So yeah, we'll definitely be covering that. And I know I'm looking forward to leveling up to 90. Big shout out to our writer on the site for WoW, Luke, who did a great post this week on the experience points differences post-expansion. So obviously there's the 85 to 90 grind, and it's fairly long grind by the look of it. But the pre-85 grind has been tidied up in some areas, so it actually should be quite a bit quicker to level up to 85, particularly in the lower levels post-expansion. So if you're running around leveling up an older tune now, I'd be waiting a month because it'll be even easier.
Awesome.
So there you go. That's enough WoW content for this week. Anything else, sir, that you want to talk about?
By the time you guys are listening to this, the Kickstarter will have closed, but just wanted to say that it looks like Steam Bandits Outpost Kickstarter, they've not only gotten past their 30 grand stage one goal, they've gotten to past the 50 grand of their stage two goal. So it looks like they'll be able to do two-thirds of the game that they want to do, and with the extra bit coming out after the game launches. So, yay!
Nice, nice, nice. Oh, yeah, Kickstarter thing's exploded the last year, hasn't it?
Oh, yeah, I mean, the how's it pronounced? Ouya? Oh, yeah? The little Android console. And I mean,
okay.
Things about the size of a Rubik's Cube.
Yeah, some pretty damn cool stuff on there.
Yeah, I think they wanted to get, 900K? And I think they got something like 8.7 million. Was it 9.6? Something like that. They were oversubscribed, let's just say that.
And there's that virtual reality goggles too that I watched a video for the other week that was on there, and it's like oversubscribed with money now by 4 times, and they've got Gabe Newell and a bunch of other key people on board liking it. So
more than 4 times, 12 days to go, and they're currently sitting at 1,765,688. So when you're listening to this, have a look at Kickstarter. The Oculus Rift will no doubt be quite a bit.
Oculus Rift. Than that. Thank you. I'd forgotten the name. Yeah, the Oculus Rift is well worth watching just the video for it. It looks amazing.
Yeah. So for Cliffy B and going to be taking this seriously and actually putting their faces on the video, clearly the thing's got some legs. It's not just another piece of vaporware that you pay your money, you know, you drop your cash and nothing ever happens.
That's right. So, nice wrap-up. I don't have anything else beyond... I can't remember in a previous episode where I've made a TV recommendation for The Walking Dead. If you've not watched The Walking Dead and you're able to download it or pay for it from a pay-to-download service like I legitimately did, and I'm serious, I actually did pay for it, It is one of the best TV shows I've watched in years. I put it right up there with Game of Thrones. Simon, you haven't watched it, have you?
I have access to it. I haven't started. No, actually, I think I did. I watched season one to the point where someone may or may not have been sort of stuck in a tank.
Oh, so, yeah, well, that's fairly early on. That's the first episode, I think.
Is it the first episode?
Maybe the second one. It's fairly early on, the tank bit.
Because being, what is it, AMC doing this, I think? One of the cable channels. So
HBO, I think it is.
Is HBO, okay. That's one of the many. Yeah. Actually, no, I think it's AMC.
Yeah,
doesn't matter. Right. Whoever it is, because it's a cable show, their seasons aren't like network seasons. They're usually something like, you know, between 8 and 13 episodes.
Yeah, first series was 7 or 8, and there's 13 episodes in the second series, which I watched 2. I'm trying to ration them because series 3, I think, is released before the end of the year. I could be wrong on that, though.
Well, that'd be good. I'm just waiting for season 3 of Game of Thrones.
Yeah, well, that's a bit further. That's, what, April, May next year, unfortunately.
Yeah. Oh, well, time will fly.
So
I won't make any TV recommendation. I will recommend, if you haven't already listened to Drinking from the Sun by the Hilltop Hoods, to give it a shot, because you will like it.
Yeah, it's had good reviews.
They are geniuses.
A friend of mine went to a gig of theirs in Tasmania recently and said they were great.
Yeah, no, they know what they're doing, and they've actually got something worth saying, which you can't say for a lot of that genre.
True. Thanks, everybody, for listening yet again. We'll be back for episode 40. With Ed in tow, I'm sure. So hopefully we'll have some nice new segment headers, and you know, talk a little bit more about other MMOs as there is news, and there'll definitely be about Guild Wars 2 in 2 weeks' time, let alone anything else, and Star Wars, obviously. So
hopefully BioWare will actually give us some news we can discuss.
Yeah, that'd be handy.
Yeah.
But thank you, Simon, for your input as always.
My pleasure. Thank you for listening to me.
We'll be back in a fortnight. Bye.
See ya.
From the coldest depths of interstellar space to the nastiest packed urban sprawls of Coruscant, this was Flashpoint.